football on Off the Ball.
And you asked me why Brentford are doing so well. Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United. But they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome along, everyone, to League of Ireland Late Night here on Off the Ball. I'm Ben Symes. I'm delighted to say that I'm back for my first League of Ireland Late Night of the new season. And I'm also delighted to say that I'm joined by a man who was in your company last week, former League of Ireland manager and now current Wexford hurling backroom coach. Shane Keegan is here as well. Shane, how are you getting on?
Ben, not too bad at all. Happy enough to take a back seat now and let you do the driving for tonight.
I let you have the keys last week, and I did tune in. I was sitting around in the background. I said, I'll let you and Vinny drive it on, and I'll join in when hopefully we're a little bit more up and running. Unfortunately, the league hasn't been so up and running in the Premier Division anyway. But people who are listening, as always, feel free to hit the request button, and we'll get you involved. Were you meant to be at a postponed game tonight? Did you manage to catch one of the two Premier Division games? Or did you intend the dramatic opening night of the First Division? We'd love to hear from you either way. Before we get into the mix and we get chatting about what happened tonight, I'll just run you through tonight's games very, very quickly. So we had two games in the Premier Division. Derry and Dundalk finished 2-2 up at the Brandywell. A dramatic 98th minute Michael Duffy penalty rescued a point at home for the host. We also, of course, saw our first McLean link up as James put in the ball for Paddy to score. Owen Kenny had put Dundalk up in front, and I think they might have thought they were going to go back down the road with a big 3 points before that Duffy penalty in the last minute. And our other Premier Division game saw Drogheda defeat Waterford 2-0 at home. Both goals in the opening 10 minutes ahead of the Louth derby for Drogheda. Next week, they're 2 wins from 2. Shane Farrell had opened them off in the first couple of minutes for Mark Doyle on his return from the United States. Had doubled the lead 10 minutes in. And then the First Division kicked off as well, of course, tonight. Athlone Town had a big 2-1 win at home on opening day against Finn Harps. Bray Wanderers and Longford Town finished 1-1. An early Richard Fairside goal was cancelled out by Longford Town. A huge win for your old side, Shane. Wexford Youths with a 3-0 win away to Cove Ramblers, another one of your old sides. Cork City got off the bat with a 1-0 win as the favourites looked to win the title and get promoted again. A Rory Keating goal there. And UCD, despite a late red card, managed to hold on for a 2-1 win at home to Kerry. Of course, we also had the two postponements in the Premier Division today. I was actually meant to be at St. Patrick's Athletic versus Galway. That was postponed at 11. And an hour later, we find out that Shelburne versus Shamrock Rovers, which was meant to be our live game on Off the Ball, was postponed at 12. So 2 weeks in a row with postponed games. 2 weeks in a row for Shamrock Rovers. It's not exactly the start we were looking for in the Premier Division, was it, Shane?
No, definitely not, Ben. Now, Shamrock Rovers, considering how long their season went on for them, might not be the worst thing in the world. They might have felt that the season was coming a little bit too quickly for them. So I'm sure they'll be clever about how they've gone about using these couple of weeks, even if they have had to adjust with last-minute notices. I did have to say, I did absolutely love the Tommy Martin tweet today when the game got postponed for the second week in a row. The Virgin Live game was postponed for the second week in a row. I think they deserve massive credit for managing to move in another direction and still making a live broadcast happen as quickly as they did. And his meme of the famous pivot scene with Ross in Friends was summed it up very, very nicely, in fairness to him. But I genuinely do think, I think they deserve serious kudos and plaudits for what they've managed to do there, because as you guys know, even just to shift to a radio broadcast to a different game at the last minute, he did very well last week managing to do it, even takes a bit of coordinating. So to do it for a live TV broadcast, I think, listen, absolutely fair play to them, rather than just taking the easy way out of, well, the game is off, what can we do, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, you said it there yourself, if people can imagine how tough it is in radio, I can only imagine how tough it is in TV. We found it ourselves last week. We had to pivot our game last week, and then today, unfortunately, just the manner of it happened, it wasn't able to be done. It's a really tough thing to do, to switch around last minute, and when you have a whole planned live show around one game and then it gets uprooted on the day of the game and you have people on the road. We had Stephen Doyle, who we had to pick up and move him and Vinnie Pert down to down to Waterford, down to the Dacia last week, and they just about managed to get there. Like, it is a really, really difficult thing to do.
So
kudos have to go out to Virgin for that.
Absolutely, and listen, apologies for any background noise here, you may just grin and bear it. But I in the day job, Ben, in the role I'm in at the moment, I'm having havoc with the weather as well, and having to cancel games and get games moved, and I feel bad about having to ring the physio, tell them there's a new venue, ring the referee, tell them there's a new venue. I can only imagine what phone calls and conversations take place, as I say, for Virgin to pull off what they're doing. But they're doing superbly to keep the show on the road, and thankfully they've been getting decent games with a few goals in them as well, you know.
Absolutely, and as well, kudos should go out to the league. It's a really tough thing when you organise games to go on a night, and you've organised not just fans going but media duties, and we found out last week they were extremely accommodating with us very, very last minute to have to switch all our accreditations down to a different game. So kind of kudos to everyone around the board. I spoke to Paddy Barrett the other day, and he told me Shelburne haven't actually managed to train on grass so far this season, which I think kind of sums up the last month and a half that we've had, Shane. It's been absolutely horrendous.
It is, yeah.
I know.
I would say that TV and radio stations aren't the only people who've had to be creative with this weather. I can just imagine what managers up and down the country have had to try and do in terms of their usual training facility not being available to them, and having to clamour around and try and put plan B's in place fairly quickly. So look, everybody's just in a state of going at the flow, and I tell you that the killing thing here is, Ben, looking at the next 7 days, I find it hard to see us having anything other than a similar conversation next Friday, you know.
I know, and it is that grim thing, isn't it, when you open up the weather app and you just see it's going to be rain again and again and again. Look, Shannon, I know you were on Off the Ball Breakfast a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking about grassroots football, and you're talking about the debate around facilities and a shared calendar season. Does this last couple of weeks now, with the postponements, and look, we may have it again, unfortunately, next Friday, does it kind of open up the debate again about maybe the start of the season, and maybe sometimes the facilities that we have? Of course, we only have two Astros in the League of Ireland Premier Division, and Dundalk is not in use at the moment. Does it kind of reopen that debate for you?
The start of the season one, it's hard to see how they would. I mean, they can't compact it any more than they have, really, particularly when you factor in, you know, European games, and hopefully our side's doing well in Europe and get to latter stages. What, like, if you started two to four weeks later, you're going to finish it 2 to 4 weeks later. Is the weather going to be any better at the tail end than it is at the start? So it's very, very hard for them to do anything around the window. Like, imagine if we hadn't switched to summer football now. I know we've been there for a long, long time now, but imagine if we were playing right through kind of November, December, January, February in the League of Ireland, if this is how many games we're getting called off at the minute. On the facilities, listen, would we get more games on if there was more Astros? Yeah, but I would say you'd do well, Ben, find too many people at the same time who are going to clamour that the answer to what we need is more Astros, because, they might take the rain a little bit better, but unless they are absolutely top class Astro, and even at that, it is never quite the same as grass. I don't know, build a roof on the place, Ben.
I tell you, if I could get up and build a roof, I would get up and build a roof. And you're dead right with Astros. And look, Shane, you know yourself as well as I do, from playing on an Astro, you wake up the next morning, your knees aren't exactly in the greatest shape after playing on it.
Well, Ben, but when you're 44 years of age, your knees aren't in great shape what surface you're playing on. So I'm in a little bit of a different boat.
I can only imagine. I don't want to get into that debate. I had the pleasure towards the back end of last season of travelling up to Reykjavik when Shamrock Rovers played Breidablik up there, and I actually took a tour around some of the indoor facilities that they have now. And I have to tell you, Shane, I have a piece. There's a piece up on the Off the Ball YouTube channel, Inside Iceland, if anyone wants to go check it out. But I cannot tell you, and even the piece doesn't do it justice. The grass inside the indoor domes, the Astro, it feels like it's outdoor grass. Like, it fully feels like you're stepping on the pitch at Talca Park or at Tallaght Stadium, at Richmond, wherever you're going to be. dare I say, the surface almost feels better, and it was an Astro. And part of me kind of wondered when I was walking on that Astro, and I had a little bit kickabout on it as well, I kind of wondered, like, if we could get this Astro in, would it make a difference? Because I know there's been some talk about the surface up in the Brandywell, and of course that is going to be relayed. We've seen the surface at Dundalk currently being relayed. The surface at Bray, I think, is brilliant. And I've been on that surface a couple of times, and I think if we could get surface like that, is that a viable option to bring in?
Yeah, listen, maybe so. I mean, when you talk about indoor facilities, obviously there is a full-size, is it full-size? I'm pretty sure it's full-size indoor Astro in Abbottstown. That I've been on a few times, and I have to say that the surface there is absolutely top class as well. I would assume, I don't know, I'm not great on this kind of thing, but I would assume being indoors maybe makes it a little bit easier to keep the Astro in pristine condition as much as possible. But listen, it would take a massive level of investment to get to that stage. Look, you have seen the one with the, I'm sure the full size indoor GA Astro that they had over in Connacht. You know, I was over in that as well. Absolutely unbelievable facility. And come the first proper storm out west, the whole feckin' thing blew down. You know, so look, it's hard to know what the solution is to the rain at the moment. Look, Rovers are going to be playing catch up pretty quickly, so they are. But I suppose if any team has the strength and depth to be able to do so, it's them.
Of course, and I don't want to keep this debate just between two of us. If anyone listening has any thoughts on what we should do around the season, should it be pushed back and we should start maybe until the start of March? Are Astros the way to go? If you have any other opinions or thoughts on how we should kind of get around this block, because as you said, Shane, the rain doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon. I'm just looking at a couple of requests that we have in here at the moment, and I'm going to bring in Anthony first, if he's there. I know Anthony is a Bowes man, so luckily for Bowes, they didn't have to play tonight. I don't know whether the game will go ahead tomorrow in Sligo Rovers. Anthony, are you planning on travelling down?
Hiya, Ben. Hi, Shane. No, not tomorrow night. It's Valentine's night, lads. Come on. no, but I did.
What better Valentine's than the League of Ireland, Anthony, eh?
Yeah. Come here. No, I did reach out to someone there today, but apparently the sun is splitting the stones down the northwest today, so it's all looking good for to go ahead for tomorrow.
Do you think, is it something that maybe we should be looking at, maybe pushing the season back a couple of weeks? Obviously, I know Bowes played the opening game last week at the UEFA, so there was no such trouble with any sort of drainage system. Obviously, Dalymount does have a brilliant drainage system. So maybe you're probably the one club that won't be put off by this at all. But is it something that you've ever thought about, maybe?
Look, Ben, I did listen to your piece as well in Braidwick, and it was very, very good. It was actually eye-opening. Kind of community-based stuff that they have there as well is brilliant. But, look, I think you can just put that down to luck, lads. Like we haven't had a game called off in probably 2 years because of pitch inspections and weather. Like, there's nothing we can do about that. That's an act of God. We can have, like, we're talking about facilities all the time, isn't it, really? And like, it is what it is. That's just where we are with it. The other side of the coin is like, what we have from our pitches in Richmond and in Tolka Park and in Dalymount and United Park and all around the place, it gives that sort of authenticity to it and that sort of stuff that we love on the Friday nights, and it gives us the kind of what we like about our league and that bit of personality. So what you give with one hand you might take away with the other, in some sense of the word. Now I know you have to move on and the facilities have to get better and the players won't get any better and the experience has to get better. I'm aware of all that, but if you're looking at the other side of the coin, is we like what we have as well to get us to this point, and that's probably the other side of the coin. And then to tie in with what Shane was saying there about the 4G pitches, like you look, there's some studies done in Holland and on how they're not the way forward and what way maybe indoor stuff is the way. Like, you're opening Pandora's box on where do you draw the line with the quality of the pitches and what you have to do, and you really, something that looks good now in 4 years time won't be the best thing in the world either. So you can kind of get into all sorts of Pandora's boxes for the sake of 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? And like, that can happen, lads. You probably look across England tomorrow on Sky Sports and you'll see a rake of games, and in Scotland only a couple of weeks ago a lot of games in Scotland were called off as well. So as much as we're kind of going, oh, it's, what can we do to solve the problem, it's probably just a little bit of bad luck and a bit of bad time.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I did notice that myself. A lot of the games in Scotland being called off, especially over the last couple of weeks. And look, there's a couple of surfaces. I know Blackburn Rovers' surface in the Championship is probably below some of the surfaces that we have here in Ireland. Shane, was it anything that you ever dealt with in pre-season when you were managing the League of Ireland, dealing with conditions like this?
Listen, I didn't even need bad conditions to have problems, really, to be honest with you. So I didn't. If I look particularly at my time at Galway, Galway United, essentially, you know, the fantastic club, but they actually don't really own anything, if that makes sense. You were relying on local clubs for training facilities. You were in a Salt Hill or a Merview, and as politics tends to go, you could sign the Merview star centre forward, and that could piss them off, and they might let you train in their facility anymore. So you're shipping somewhere else to try and find yourself a new facility, that sort of stuff. And thankfully, look, things have moved on a bit since then, but not massively either. At the same time, I think you'll find, like your story there about Paddy Barrett, I think you'll find an awful lot of clubs have probably had to duck and dive and do the very best they can to get themselves whatever options they've had available to them for the last while. Look, an Astro is a godsend. If you can get yourself a decent Astro, that's for sure. But then you'll have, you know, again, if I look at my time at Galway, Ronan Murray was probably my star player. He had an outstanding season for me that year, and Ronan had a few injury issues that literally just meant he could not train on Astro. So we were doing two sessions one on an Astro and two on grass. But basically, anytime we trained on Astro, he just could not partake in the training session. And we'd have to come up with an alternative training plan just to keep him tipping over fitness-wise. And he wouldn't be the only one. There would be a few players, I would think, tipping around the League of Ireland who, due to maybe, you know, reoccurring injuries or a history of injuries and different stuff like that, maybe, you know, aren't able to do a whole lot on Astro. So while it has its upside, it's still not ideal, you know.
Yeah, and like that you said, Paddy Barrett told me he'd be surprised if there was any club who were training on grass so far this season. So if that's a player saying that, like you said, about players with injuries, you can only imagine kind of the downside this will have a couple of weeks down the line. Look, we've plenty of time for chat about facilities. Anthony, well, I have you here. Did you manage to get to the Aviva?
I did, yeah. I actually was high up. I was up in the premium section because I said, listen, we only do it once a year. It's not the norm. So the point is, Ben, when you're that little bit higher, you get to see the game a little bit more, and you get to see a little bit more of what's going on in terms of positions around the pitch and little pockets that people are picking up and stuff. So yeah, it was actually a different way of watching the game. Usually when you're there, you're screaming your head off and you're not really taking much of it in, you're only on one side of the pitch. But that little bit higher, it was actually, I know it was a nil-all draw, but it was really interesting to just see how both teams set up and how they were feeling each other out. And the big one for me was how different the managers set up the teams with and without the ball. So when Balls never had the ball last week, they were kind of sitting back into a back five, and then as soon as they had the ball, Flores went into kind of that quarterback role. I'm probably letting the secrets out here, but Flores went into that quarterback role and kind of like they never heard Patton in such a way, but it was just very interesting to watch and see. What a good kind of environment can give. I know, look, the quality wasn't there, but that can be down to loads of things. Like, that can be down to the first game of the season, the nerves, not wanting to give much away. It didn't make for a great spectacle, but such is League of Ireland when it goes like that. There was a story someone told me one time, Shamrock Rovers were moving to the RDS after Milltown, and the first game, could be wrong this, but it was Waterford United, and it was on the telly, and it was a nil all draw, and they'd something like they'd over 10,000 people at the game, and it was nil all draw, and then the next game they had, there was nobody at it. It could have been Derry City, and they won 3-2, and there was we're around the 5,000, and it wasn't on the telly. So it's such is life again, where you're going, you have this big spectacle, and it flatters to deceive. But that was my kind of take from it as well.
Anthony, probably two questions from my perspective. One on the pitch, one more in the stands. On the pitch, what did you make of the strikerless formation, I suppose, is probably the best way to phrase it. I know it came down to circumstances. It probably wasn't through design that they went that way. I think Douglas James Taylor was out. Obviously, I don't think Colly Whelan was fit to start. But what did you make of that, first of all, I suppose?
Yeah, like, look, they've done it a lot last year with, I suppose, James Clark and that role with kind of false nine. Look, Connor Parsons he's quick, and Pat's played a high line. So if you're kind of looking at it from a kind of a football point of view, if he puts one of his two chances away, Alan Reynolds looks like a hero, and that looks like a great decision. Yeah. And then, like, a good save from the keeper, or a bad finish, all of a sudden then it's a different perspective, and that's the narrative. Why didn't you play a striker? Why didn't you? It was so you can kind of, if you wanted me to argue either way, Shane, I could, but yeah, I think it was just down to getting the players on the pitch that he thought could hurt Pats in that kind of high line that they played for a lot of it.
And like you said, if you hadn't run into Anang in such inspired form, you probably would have won the game through those Parsons chances, and everybody would be very, very happy with it. Just in terms, before we let you go, Anthony, just in terms of the whole Aviva thing, I suppose, you know, it's been an awful lot of talk in the lead up to it and in the aftermath of it. If I was to just throw it straight at you, if you were told that Bo's opening game of next season is going to be in the Aviva, and it's going to be against, I don't know, Shells. Happy, sad, would you go with it? Would you not go with it? What's your thoughts on the whole thing?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, people are going to have their opinions, and I get the pure saying you shouldn't give up your home games. And my own personal opinion is, it's great. We had it in Europe a couple of years ago, 2022, when it was around the COVID time, and we used the Aviva, and they were great sort of events, because we were all getting into the stadium again, and we all kind of have fond memories from that, if you know what I mean. So then last year with the Rovers game, the cup finals, so it's kind of not a strange thing. We have been there, but I think it's great, Shane, because you're going in, you're seeing 20,000-30,000 people. It's like I've been in Daly Mount in 2002, 2003, 2004, when you're looking at the attendances in the programmes, and you're seeing 1,600-1,700 playing Dublin City and UCD, and you're kind of, you worry, and the people that are going every week are the ones that are getting hammered for the money, whereas now you're looking and you're seeing the young kids being able to go, you're seeing the stadium full, like people being able to go up and buy stuff, and money getting spent, and kind of bows and Pat's flags and big emblems everywhere, and you're hearing the stadium announcer in a big huge kind of environment that you're only used to seeing for international level. I think it's great, but it is only a once off kind of, and you can do it the whole time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I see the positives in it.
I must say as well, I had the privilege of being there up in the stands in the press box, and I got absolutely thrown off by that Bo's formation as well. I'd heard rumours of a back five, but when I saw the team sheet come out and I saw the players, I had Patrick Hickey nailed on to be more of an advanced position. And then I saw him it was like the old Dubs used to play, they'd start a forward and bring him back in and display a sweeper role. I got absolutely thrown off by that.
You know, I happened to bump into Patrick afterwards with his father, lovely guy, and he said he only found out the morning that, now I know he was playing there in pre-season, but he said he only actually found out the morning off. But here, look, they were solid at the back, and there was a few times last year where there was a period right before half time, Ben, where balls were coming in, Pats were putting good balls in, and balls would, I think I counted it up last year, they'd 9 or 10 goals conceded between the 42nd and the 45th minute last year, and we only finished on plus 9 goal difference, or maybe it's a bit higher than that now with the last game, but there you go. So if you're conceding that many goals and someone like Patrick can come in and he got two good headers in there and just kind of got us through till half time, so they're the positives that I'd be taking out of it.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's going to be very exciting to see Bowes in that new formation tomorrow night. It'll be the same with Pats as well, the opposition they played against, obviously. Anthony, thanks for coming on tonight. Shane, we might turn our attention to some of the games that did take place tonight. A big night down in the first division. I mean, Cork getting off the bat to a big win as they take on, I mean, huge title favourites to go straight back up again. Athlone with a big win, and a couple of Euro sides meeting Wexford with a big win away to Cove Ramblers.
Yeah, I suppose to go through in the order you have there, the Cork one, yeah, it surprised me that they made such hard work of it. You just look at that starting 11, look, in terms of individual quality, it is miles ahead of anything else in the division, no doubt about it. But what tonight showed is that doesn't necessarily mean teams are just going to roll over, you know. Like, Treaty would be very, very, very well organised and set up. I would imagine they probably, haven't seen this game, but I would imagine they probably didn't see a huge amount of the ball, maybe. But, I mean, Tommy will have accepted that from the start. And this is what Cork are going to come up against week in, week out. They're going to come up against teams that are superbly well organised and are saying, come on, come at us, see what you can do. And they're going to make it tough. And the likes of Sean McGuire and Rory Keaton, as good and all as they are, they're going to find it tough. They're not going to have a huge amount of space. They're going to be surrounded by bodies. And it's up to Cork to come up with something, which they obviously managed to do eventually tonight. Probably the biggest surprise, I suppose, is that Cove Wexford one. Obviously, two teams that I'd know reasonably well. I was actually talking to one or two people that I'd still be friendly with at both clubs who were down at the game tonight. I was just getting a feel for it, and by all accounts, it was a 3-0 win that could have been a 5-0 win, from what I'm hearing. So a fantastic start for Wexford. Look, for me, I'll be honest, I've said it towards the tail end of last year, I think Wexford were the biggest underachievers of the first division last year. You know, I thought to put together a really good squad, and I fully expected them to make the playoffs and give the playoffs a decent rattle, and it was very disappointing for them not to do so. Cove, on the other hand, obviously had a right good season, but I think Wexford, to be fair, they've been good again in terms of their signings. They brought in the young fella Doyle from UCD, who I was really impressed with in the bits and pieces I saw of him last year. Talking to one or two tonight, I think he was the standout player on the pitch tonight down in that game. So I think he's gonna be a big signing for them. And it'll be I find it hard to see Wexford being out of the top three. Now that said, I probably would have said they were playing the other team that I would have seen in the top three. I mean, if I was calling it early, I would say Cork. Mm. Cork's going away with it, and Cove and Wexford potentially to be second and third. But I know we have Seagull chat on the line. He will probably argue that he will be hopeful that Bray will be in that top three. So it'll be interesting to see what he made of tonight's game for them.
I didn't want to get into Bray because I knew he had the expert waiting in wings. Just before he hops in, Shane, a quick word on Cove Ramblers. Obviously, huge change off the pitch with Fran Rocker coming in and Mick McDermott obviously leaving towards the end of last season. Do you still think tonight's result wouldn't put you off anything about them going forward?
Look, it'll be a blow for them. It definitely will. Your first game of the season, but then it's also your first home game of the season. You are, like, the inevitability of the situation, reality of the situation is here, you get people who turn up to that first game who might not be regulars. And if they go away with a feel-good factor, well, then there's a good chance they'll come. There are some who are so kind of fly-by-night in terms of whether they'll go to games or not, that could be it for them. They came the first night, they weren't impressed with what they saw, they were about 3-0, they were cold, they were wet, and that's the end of it. look, I think back to my first gig, and this is Fran's, you know, Fran has a massive amount of experience in the league, but it's probably his first outright manager's role. I think he's done quite a few interims before, and look, I think back to my first one, and I'll never ever forget it, Ben. It was one of the best nights of my footballing life. We beat our neighbours Waterford 5-1, 6-1, one or the other. And it just got...
You're underselling yourself there.
So it just got us off to an absolute flyer and bought me a bit of wiggle room that, you know, some of the poorer results that followed in the coming months were maybe, you know, they were willing to put up with them because they could see. And I would love for Fran to have got that, because Fran's a top-class coach, a top-class fella, one of the most engaging fellas that you'll meet in the league. But when you get off to a start like that, it does kind of... You're immediately on the back foot. I haven't had a chance to even... I must have a quick look here as we're chatting to see who they've got next week. But he's kind of going straight then into a situation where, right, I need to get a good result here early on. Looking down here, away to Longford. Last season, one of the poorer teams. Again, Siegel will be able to tell us what they were like tonight. A decent result for them. But I would expect, with the quality of squad they've signed and an excellent guy like Fran involved, I would expect that they will manage to get things right sooner rather than later, and I would certainly expect them to compete for the playoff spots. Yeah,
as you said there, Shane, away to Longford for Fran Rockett and Cove Ramblers next week. A Longford who drew 1-1 with Bray tonight in Bray. We have Siegel Chad in on the line. Are you there?
I am indeed.
Were you at the game?
I was, yeah, on Baltic stuff. But yeah, no, very frustrating on our end. I'll give Longford credit because we had the majority of the ball, but when they did have the ball, they took advantage of it. I mean, we really should have won about 2 or 3-1. They made some... I think if you look at the highlights, they should include it in the highlights. One of their defenders made what's probably already going to be the goal line clearance of the season. Look, it was a frustrating night for us, but we're still fairly optimistic because you know, we've got a lot of new players through the door in the last couple of weeks, and we're pretty optimistic that we'll finish third or second. That's generally, you know, asking around the fans what most people think, where people think we'll finish.
Siegel, talk to me about the new players who come into the side tonight. Who impressed you, or who caught the eye?
Well, we've Declan Asagi from Bowes. We've got him on loan from Bowes. He was thrown straight in. So was Tyreek Sammy from Shells, who's also on loan. He's been unbelievable in pre-season. He was decent tonight, but he didn't get particularly good service. He'd be the one to certainly the one to watch in terms of the younger players who we've got in. Who else? Daniel Ring. We got him in from Shelburne as well. I felt a bit sorry for him tonight because he is a tall central striker, and 99% of the service went out to the wings to Richard Ferzai and Billy O'Neill, and they're always going to cut in rather than square it to him. But again, he's still highly rated. So there was it still felt quite rotational. I mean, we made a triple substitution at just about 10 minutes into the second half, and then we used up the rest of them shortly thereafter. So we still... it's annoying because I actually think we have a slightly better squad than last season, but we still don't really know what our best starting 11 will be. We've got so many players in the door through the door in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I will say though, that's really unlucky not to score tonight. Well, we've got a player in, a Nigerian player in from the MLS, a guy called Ifunachi Achara, and he looked really, really good. So again, it's frustrating because we've at least as good, if not a better squad than last season, but we don't know we don't really know really the best formation or starting 11 for it yet. I think Paul Heffernan and Wayne Groves are the two best managers in the first division. I mean, last year, the fact that Longford were in with the remote chance of making the playoffs last year, considering the squad they had, you know, Wayne Groves, you know, deserves all the plaudits for that. And of course, Paul Heffernan took what was essentially an underage squad with about three senior players to within 90 minutes of the Premier Division. But no, we're still fairly optimistic, even though it's frustrating start to the.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out here what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say, but you're feckin', I'll roll with it anyway. I look at the team tonight that you had out, and I don't know, it doesn't look quite as strong to me as last year's, but that said, I am also aware of a player, I don't know if you know Siegel, you might let me know if you know, then everybody knows. I'm aware of a player that you have signed, but that you did manage to sign before the registration deadline, so therefore wasn't available tonight. And I think at first division level, he could be a very, very good player for you. And I think he is exactly what I need. Any rumours floating around over there of any new signings coming in? No?
The latest player we got in, was which we only announced yesterday, was Nyembo. And he was actually spoiled for us in the media pack that they released about a week before. But he was very good. Because speaking of, you know, we've got players from all over the world. I mean, we've got a player we signed from the Sierra Leone Premier League. John Sessai, because one of the new owners from Bray, he runs a football academy, so we're getting players from here, there, and everywhere. So
fair play. Well, listen, I'll preempt it by saying apologies to the Bray Wanderers media team if I'm ruining anything here, but I'm 99% sure that Ben McCormack is a done deal for ye.
Ben McCormack. Oh yeah, that was announced yesterday.
It was announced. Whether it had been formally announced or not, so it wasn't. I think Ben can be a cracking player. Things have probably stalled for Ben a bit in the last 12 to 24 months. I mean, when he broke through at Pats as a young fella, he looked so exciting. I think he's a former Irish international underage player of the year at under 17 or under 18 level, and he just needs. I think he needs to feel the love somewhere now for a season to help him reignite things. But to me, he could come into your side, Siegel, and he genuinely has the potential to be one of the best centre mids if he can get things back on track and rediscover the form that he showed a couple of years ago. You know.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I mean, listen, his chance is going to be in the next couple of weeks because Paul's going to be going to be rotating the squad until he picks his starting 11 for the rest of the season. And once Paul sticks to his favourite 11 like glue, he doesn't really rotate that much. So once that's done, really the only way he's getting into the squad after that would be through injuries. But yeah, no, listen, I was surprised because I remember there was a bit of hype around him and then it seemed to go mute for a year. But no, listen, hopefully he gets on and hopefully he causes a bit of a splash. But I will say one quick thing about the AstroTurf before I sign off. I mean obviously Bray's pitch before when it was AstroTurf was one of the best grass surfaces in the country, and obviously there was a big furore over it being replaced by Astro. But in fairness, the pitch we've put in, like you said earlier, has been by Astro standards fantastic. I mean, there was no real AstroTurf related injuries last year, and it's held up perfectly. So I mean, it really depends on the quality of the actual Astro that's put in. Because I mean, for example, Athlone has been AstroTurf since they built that stadium, I think. And and that's a fantastic pitch as well. Whereas Dundalk have had a Hasbro pitch for 4 or 5 years, and they've already had to tear it up and replace it.
I must say that Bray Wanderers Astro pitch, every time I've been on it, a superb service, like a real kind of show how to maybe other teams who might be thinking about putting in an Astro, like 100%.
Yeah, and in financial defence, it's been playable because we had to start play our first four games last season away while it was completed. So it's been in place for just under 11 months now. And the club's already made its money back on it from not having to take care of grass. So when people wonder why the first division has so many Astro pitches, that's why, because it's literally already saved us hundreds of thousands of euro. And from here on out, it's going to net us hundreds of thousands of euro and not having to take care of it. So, and also we can rent it out to various other teams and organisations and whatnot. So, I mean, I understand wanting to stick to the grass pitches for in the Premier Division, but in the First Division, where you know budgets are tight, then you know there's really is no reason not to go for the Astro as long as it's decent quality, which on Bray it is. I mean, Bray's pitch, you can actually knee slide on it and it won't rip the skin off of it.
So. Well, listen, I'll give you a quick omen before you go. Achara has played 30 games in total in the MLS, and he managed to score 3 goals in it. So hopefully, we'll be seeing a few knee slides from him across the season.
I wouldn't recommend it because he did his ACL a few years ago, apparently. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Well, maybe he won't. But look, it'll be a couple of weeks before we see Bray back home again. A couple of tough fixtures away to Treaty United and Cork City's Eagle. I'm sure we'll have you on again sooner over the next couple of weeks. Thanks a million for hopping on tonight.
Certain. Cheers. Cheers, lads.
Shane, very quickly before we wrap up, we'll just touch on one of the League of Ireland Premier Division games tonight. Derry City with a 98-minute penalty at home to Dundalk. Did you manage to catch much of the game? I don't know if you were.
Yeah, I did. Really didn't expect it to be that tough for Derry, if I'm honest. Look, they've had a tough start to the season, and thank God for late-ish goals for them, or it'd be a lot tougher, or certainly looking a lot worse. Yeah, look, fantastic stuff by Dundalk. Fair play. I think the 2 goals, I don't know, Brian Maher probably would be a bit disappointed with the Moody. Like, he's one of the top keepers in the country, so I would imagine he...
Well, Brian Maher was injured tonight.
There we are.
He wasn't there, enough.
That probably makes a little bit more sense. All right, I was watching the...
It was Shay Callister in, 19-year-old English keeper. I think they only signed him about a week and a half ago.
That makes a hell of a lot more sense. So it does. I was watching the goals and I was looking and going, Jesus, he would expect himself to do better on the 2 of them. So yeah, listen, that makes a lot more. And listen, you know, probably not that it makes the result a bit more understandable, because they will have been looking at those open fixtures and they would have expected to be 6 points from 6, I would have thought. But like I say, they'll be happy with the McLean goal anyway, that's for sure. And then it was a case of come at the hour, come at the man, in terms of Michael popping up and having enough calmness to get them out of jail, I suppose.
Derry obviously have first 4 fixtures at home. It's Bohemians who travel up next. Bohemians obviously are on tomorrow night against Sligo. Do you have any predictions ahead of that one tomorrow night, Shane?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I thought Sligo had a lot to be happy enough about, despite coming away with nothing last weekend, really. So I'd say, yeah, I can see them definitely getting something from the game. I would think a draw is very possible. I Bohs are going to take, as we had the chat with Anthony earlier, I think Bohs are maybe going to take a couple of weeks to really find their best 11 and find the shape and formation that works best for them and get into a groove. So if you were sticking your neck out, we'll go 1-1.
I had a draw as well. I think it could be tough for Bohs going away to that. That's on tomorrow night at 7:45. Just before we wrap up, we'll run through the fixtures that will be coming your way next week. So Derry will be at home to Bohemians in the third of their first four games. Shelburne will be at home to Galway United. Waterford will be at home to Sligo Rovers. A huge Dublin derby as Shamrock Rovers are going to play host to St. Patrick's Athletic in what is going to be a tasty, tasty game for Shamrock Rovers. Obviously, their first of the season after the first two games being ruled out due to waterlogged pitches. We're going to have commentary on Off the Ball of Derry City versus Bohemians. Our own Stephen Doyle will be there for that. And then the final game, which I have the privilege of being there for, the Loud Derby, the first Loud Derby back in the Premier Division next week. Dundalk versus Drogheda United from Oriel Park at 8 o'clock. Shane, I know you have a couple of affinities to one half of that side of the Loud Derby. How much are you looking forward to that?
Well, look, I'd say I have a bit of an affinity to the other side of it as well, in that I get on very well with Kev. I think he's an absolutely top fella. And I mean, what a result again for them tonight. You know, outstanding stuff. Two games gone, 6 points, two clean sheets. This is just Drogheda doing what Drogheda do. And yeah, look, despite a really strong result for Dundalk tonight as well, I would probably give the edge to Drogheda in that one, yeah.
I'm not going to stick my neck out on the line as yet. I don't want anyone to lynch me on either side of the Loud border. Shane Keegan, thanks a million for joining me tonight. We'll be back, of course, next week for another edition of League of Ireland Late Night. Take care, folks.
Football on Off the Ball.
And you ask me why Brentford are doing so well? Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United, but they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.